Fanatics. This is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we will have a different guest spin their yarn. You can follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom, follow the podcast at diaryofdoom.podbean.com, and of course, visit the website, www.diaryofdoom.com, just updated it so you can find all of the podcast episodes and the new photo galleries. And you can subscribe and listen to said podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have a question or want to pitch something or want to make sure that I haven't contracted coronavirus yet, you can shoot an email off to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. Our guest this week is Emilio Rizzo from Pittsburgh. He goes by the moniker of Buzznaut, and thank you for coming on the show in this strange time that we're alive in.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
So obviously we're chatting during the outbreak of coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, and you're up in Pittsburgh. So what's the state of affairs up in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'm right in the heart of it, I guess. And we're not. So I work in healthcare, so I'm actually still going to work. I'm not like 100% in quarantine. So I've been kind of watching out, seeing what's happening. If like, you know, the rumors of like Monday, there's going to be a lockdown. This was like what happening Friday, like somebody gets an email or they think they have insider information. So it's been kind of weird. I work by Pitt. And that's the university. So, like, it's usually, like, bit more hopping than the city. And it's been basically like a zombie movie and kind of waiting for it to – waiting for the dead bodies to start coming up.
Well, it's kind of fitting because wasn't the Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah, totally. Pittsburgh is actually, like, the zombie city. Mm. I don't know if it's officially zombie capital of the world. It kind of should be. Yeah, Dawn of the Dead at Monroeville Mall, which is like, I don't know, like 20 minutes out. That's like been known as one of the top like locations just to go visit, even though it's just a regular mall and it looks nothing like the 70s movie.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, zombies are already always like on. I think it's an ongoing theme in like Pittsburgh. We're very proud of our zombies.
That's pretty fun. I actually didn't know that about Pittsburgh. I've only been to Pittsburgh a couple of times. I think it's a pretty fun city, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. There's actually, it's gotten a lot better. When I was growing up, there was sort of that suburban sprawl thing when I was an angry punk rocker in high school. Like, that was happening. And now it's, like, the reverse. Like, people are coming back. There's a tech boom. There's a huge music scene. Like, there's shows every night. Like, it's pretty wild. It's hopping here. Pre-pandemic.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I was going to say, I can't imagine it's too busy right now.
Yeah, talking about how it used to be. Yeah, everything's been not even those memes that are saying like, yeah, my local band with nobody showing up, like that's not even happening.
I remember after I graduated college, I took a trip up to Pittsburgh and I saw Baroness play in a church. Smalls. Is it Mr. Smalls?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Mr. Smalls. Yeah.
It's a cool little venue.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. That's one of the I haven't got a chance as Fuzznaut to play that yet, but it's awesome. There's always great shows there. I actually saw Sleep there the first time they came to Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
2015. Yeah. Yeah. It was right when before the cusp of like they were regularly touring. So it was still a really special occasion.
Right. You were only getting like a handful of shows a year, like maybe three.
Yeah, that was part of one of the handful like tours. I want to say like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, I was lucky to see them at Brooklyn Steel 2 years ago.
Oh, nice.
They did two nights there. Although a substantially bigger venue than Mr. Smalls.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely. Where's Brooklyn Steel at? Obviously, it's in Brooklyn, but what part? Because I've been to New York a couple times, which I love.
Brooklyn like Steel.
But like, yeah. Where I've been to parts of Brooklyn.
I should know. I think it's Greenpoint. It's like the southern part of Greenpoint, kind of going towards East Williamsburg. It's like off the. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's all, it's probably not off the BQE, but it's relatively close to the BQE.
Right on there. Okay, cool. Yeah, I went to some of the mandatory places I had to go to because I'm a big Warriors fan. Take the subway to Coney. So that's one of the reasons I went over to Brooklyn. And of course, like, hang out at Williamsburg and check it, just like, see, it's completely different. Pittsburgh's a very small city. It's a small towny like city. Like, it's big, but definitely it's not New York big.
It's funny because I remember when I went up there, I was like, wow, this place looks fucking huge. And it's just because you don't have skyscrapers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you can see the whole city and it looks a lot bigger than it actually is. Plus, like, with the rivers and everything.
Oh, totally. You could walk downtown in like a half hour, an hour, and you're already out. Like, oh, okay, that was fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's only about, I could be wrong, somebody on the internet will be like, you're wrong, but I want to say it's equivalent probably to my unofficial guesstimate. Definitely like 20-some New York blocks, maybe. Because you could go for, we're a city with a bunch of neighborhoods, which is cool.
Right, right. You don't have the grid format.
Exactly. You don't know. Yeah, we don't have the grid format. We were an unplanned city. That's why, like, we've been known to have the worst roads here and everything doesn't quite make sense because we had the rivers and stuff and that was good. And then we just grew from there.
It's like, well, fuck it. We're building here. Why not?
Exactly. And that's what Uber's designed to do with the robot cars, too. That's why they're specifically testing them here.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're like, your terrain's so bad, we just got to give this a shot.
Get the worst out of the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, growing up in Pittsburgh, you've grown up in Pittsburgh your whole life?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say I'm a lifer, so.
Okay. So, what were, like, your earliest experiences with music? What drew you into that?
Really, it kind of starts with family. My sisters were a lot older than me and they were getting into punk rock, and Pittsburgh had a very interesting, like, punk rock scene. They had their own punk rock club called the Electric Banana, which is very, like, it's kind of Pittsburgh small, like CBGBs type thing, but great bands like Black Flag, GBH, Husker Du, all those bands, like, had played there. And then also, this is stuff I learned, like, history, like, later. There's also, like, oh, I forget what club it was, if it was Graffiti or something like that. That, like, Nirvana's only show was there. And that the Clash had played, like, CMU, Carnegie Mellon. You know, so there's, I think Pittsburgh's a music city in general, actually. You don't really know, yeah, you don't really see that. Like, there are a couple bands that are huge. More so right now, like Code Orange is blown up because of what they did,
right? Yeah,
which is pretty odd. Their set was pretty awesome, though. It was a very proud, like, Pittsburgh moment. And I knew I just had a gut feeling like these guys are ahead of the game, like, just doing it this way. But, yeah, like, my sister's bringing in the punk rock stuff in, and then it just kind of then there was Warped Tours coming to Pittsburgh. And just being, like, a part of that. And then eventually, when I was 17, I joined, like, a punk band and got my feet wet, like, with all the stuff. Like, I was able to play, like, Mr. Smalls and all those type of things in my punk band, playing bass. So we didn't really go anywhere, but it was, like, a lot of fun. So, that's really, yeah, that's
what was
really
the name of your band?
Oh, it was called Unarmed.
Unarmed?
Yeah, Unarmed. It was an old... I think there's a video of us on YouTube and I have a fro and sideburns, like, jumping around like a maniac. So we were kind of like, we copped Anti-Flag a lot. So, and for Pittsburgh, that's a Pittsburgh band. So kind of the, like, political punk rock thing. And then I was in a garage band called the Turnarounds, which that was too much fun. I was in both bands at the time and it was like a Ramones, just have fun, like, band. And that was back in the MySpace days. And then, so did those for a while. And then I thought I had to grow up. So I kind of gave up everything, realized growing up really wasn't for me. So, right now with the day job and being a family man, like, I'm still like, I have the, like, that desire to play just never stops. And I really found guitar in the internet thing really like opening up, like, oh, there's people doing this by themselves, like just playing music and doing, doing the YouTube gear demos and things like that. And that really like gear on Instagram is like a big thing, at least for me, like checking out what people are playing, what guitar is that. Or seeing a band, like, oh, what guitar are they playing? So that I do kind of do this to justify my gear obsession, too. So, like, I have to do something with these expensive toys.
There is something attractive about it, though. Like, I am not, like, a gear person by any stretch, but I still watch a lot of gear videos. I find them very engaging.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like there's kind of an art to it as well. If you do it right, you're still making music. Like, I felt like, especially since... there's some bass channels, there's drum channels. I'm really into the guitar stuff, obviously. But, like, just being having an individual person, like, command with that, it's just, I don't know, it's still, like, fascinating to me. And I think, like, having that really build up, and then it kind of leads into I discovered Earth. And then I was late in the game on discovering Earth. I think around, like, 3 or 4 years. They've been around way longer. I was on Spotify and I was listening to, what was it? Their live record. That's on Third Man Records. That's the one I was like, oh my God, like this is the type of stuff I want to play. And then he came out with a solo record and I was just like, I could do this. Like, not even to call, I do a bad job of copying him. But, you know, it was the format, just all guitar. And still like being like listenable and musical, and it's like there's like nothing missing to it, whereas sometimes solo stuff you're like there's something missing. Like with that record, it was not, I feel like it was full. It's very inspiring for me to do like what I do.
Well, it's that whole like concept of when he's in Earth, he's playing with his drummer Adrian, and you know that's, they're kind of like the unit that drives the ship, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So he has to be able to, you know, work his style alongside her style. And she's a really cool drummer too. Like the way that she plays is really, really cool and really interesting. Like how, like her technique and approach, but I know what you mean on like Conquistador. It's very much, it's Dylan Carlson full on doing exactly what Dylan Carlson wants to do.
Yeah.
The Earth of old doesn't really sound like the Earth of, you know, 2019, 2018.
Oh, yeah. It's very different. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But a lot of, yes, I listened to the live one and it was right before that solo record came out. And then I did a deep dive into like all that stuff. Cause obviously, since like, the whole like Spotify and Pandora popping up, that strangely enough was my gateway to stoner metal, because as far as I know, there weren't a lot of like stoner metal bands in Pittsburgh. There were definitely metal bands, there were definitely punk bands, but not at least until like the last like 10 or 15 years, there wasn't like that history of that like we didn't have like a Black Sabbath essentially. To be like, oh yeah, this is like part of like, I know Maryland is a big hub for like, you know, stoner metal bands, and with Pentagram in those things, in those bands.
The Obsessed.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like we didn't have like an Obsessed of Pittsburgh, at least as far as I know. So popping, like there's a band that got me the kind of a gateway into all the different genres of this was actually, have you heard of Dead Meadow?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I love that. They're so great. And a friend turned me on to them a long time ago, and I was really into their stuff. Popped Dead Meadow into Pandora when it used to be good. And they would be playing Sleep, Earth, that algorithm, like, hit all those notes. And I'm like, what? Like, it pops on Dragonaut. I'm like, what is this riff? Then I see the YouTube video, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like, where has this been?
It's so funny you mentioned Dead Meadow, because they're like, they're not really a stoner metal band or a doom metal band. They're a rock band. They're a rock and roll band, like pretty straight and through and through. They have that 70s psychedelic vibe to them. It's like, it's straight out of there, and they're a great band. I dig the hell out of them, but they don't sound like Sleep. They're not definitely the same not. Thing.
I think it was the algorithm confusing them, because at the end I'd be in dismay. Like, I'm like, this stuff is great, but nothing else sounds like Dead Meadow.
Exactly.
They just
there's a lot of bands that sound like Dead Meadow now.
Yeah, definitely. With like a psych rock, but nothing quite. I feel like I haven't found one that was like close enough to be like, if you like Dead Meadow, listen to these. I think the closest one for me would be the Black Angels, and that's still a stretch.
Yeah, it's funny that the Black Angels sort of like, they kind of like surpassed like they sort of straddle that line between being like a mainstream band and then just being like leader of the new wave of psych
yeah.
rock. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And like Dead Meadow like is kind of in there, but for some reason they keep getting pulled over to like the heavy metal side for some weird reason.
Yeah, yeah. Like they could play Desert Fest and Psycho, and they just fit like right in there.
It's kind of like Earthless. Like Earthless is a lot like that too. Where Earthless is not like a stoner metal band. They're not a doom metal band. They're straight up rock and roll. I mean, I saw the dude play. Like the dude is insanely good. Like this guy should be playing. The dude could play G3. Not that G3.
Yeah, total. Oh, yeah, he should. Well, I think, before all this happened, he was touring with the Black Crowes, right?
Yeah, he's been a touring guitar player for them, which I didn't know that. I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, totally. He's so good. Isaiah, I forget his last name.
Isaiah Mitchell. But,
yeah, I'm so pissed. He came to Pittsburgh, and I think the show sold out. I, like, totally missed the ball on that. It was Earthless, Ruby the Hatchet, and I forget who else, but it would have been sick.
Yeah, Ruby the Hatchet would have been real sick. Too.
Oh, yeah, I just saw them in Pittsburgh, I don't know, like 2 months ago. They're killing it. They're so good.
Kind of getting into your project as Fuzznaught. Obviously, like we were talking about before, Dylan Carlson, big influence on you, it's all entirely guitar compositions, unless that's not accurate. But
oh no, it's just me and the guitar.
Okay, and I think it has a bit more of like an electric atmosphere to it, more than like the kind of the current Western twang that Carlson does for the most part now. So how do you put it together?
Oh, like, let's see, like how to write a song, or how do I do
it? Like, what's your approach to putting it together?
I usually just, like, it's weird. Like, I had, you know, the old punk rock days, it would just be like, here's a verse, here's a chorus, here's that. When I was kind of figuring out my format with this, it was I got into almost, like, real thematic type stuff, like, just, like, really being mindful what I'm playing. So I definitely like I have parts, but they all have different names, and they wasn't just like verse chorus or you know the typical thing. I want each song to like intentionally like I wanted everything to tie into each other. So it's four songs on the EP, and most of them, especially like the first three, like really were supposed to tie into each other. Just enough, not like you have to get this concept. It's still pretty enough for people to like. Some people have said like, oh, it's like meditative. I could really just like get into it. Like when I play live and I'm playing through like the set, and I see people like closing their eyes and just getting into it. Like to me, that's like okay, like we're sharing this like moment. It's what it was sort of on a. I just wanted to be able to you know. I think at first the selfish reasons, like, I want to go out and play live. I love playing live. But there's some other, like, spiritual connection I can't quite explain. I just know, like, when that happens, that's, like, that's really cool. I like to keep that going. But I'm veering off. But back to, like, the composition, like, with this record, for some reason I was like, it's got to be circular. I have no idea why. I think I was reading a lot of Zen like mindful meditation stuff, and I think that really bled through, because like by trade I'm a therapist, so I'm a drug and alcohol counselor therapist, so like I'm always telling people like be mindful, like chill. I'm basically just telling people like I know the world's crazy, your life's crazy, especially right now, and I'm just like chill out. So I'm always have to be the force of chilling out, I guess. So like this, like even like the album artwork has something to do with it, right? Like, so form is emptiness and emptiness is form is from a Buddhist Sanskrit thing. Oh, I forget. The hardcore Buddhists are going to get me for this, but I apologize. Not the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama is Tibetan. This is Zen Buddhism.
Okay.
And I don't know who
wrote it. Oh, man. Now they're going to come for me. The Buddhists
exactly,
are going
to
get upset.
Yeah, right. So we'll both take the hit for that. Aren't you? Yeah, you're supposed to be nonviolent. It's in the tenets, but whatever. and I'm not even, like, I like the principles. I'm not 100% Buddhist, but I do find that philosophy, like, very helpful and, like, good for your mental health. Those are the first two songs. And in a sense, it's talking about, what's it called? Great Heart of the Wisdom Sutra. That's like the prayer of it. You know, the idea is, I think what I was trying to project is like, this is whatever it means to somebody coming in and listening to it. But that one interpretation of those two lines is like, it's attachment, like, and also that percent form is emptiness. This is getting wit. See, this is why I don't. This is traps me into rabbit holes, reading too much Buddhist stuff. You get into those rabbit holes, like form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. That those type of things.
It's
but
like very reciprocal, sort of like it's just like it is and it isn't. And
yeah,
it,
yeah.
And by it not existing, it still exists. That makes
exactly
sense.
Exactly. And then you'll read some other stuff and it will like completely contradict that. So I always thought that sounded cool. Basically, I was like, this sounds cool and like ominous and like kind of matches the music. So I wanted it, as the songs go, it's like, hopefully I did an okay job at this, but like having them kind of blend into each other and also like come back around, like the circle. Like, so the end starts at the beginning starts at the end, at least for like the first three songs, but all of them kind of do that.
It's kind of like a suite, like you put it together like a suite, like there's like repeating motifs, but they all sound distinct.
Yeah. That's what I was going for, if I did it right. I think it helps me because it's like, at least give me the music like some type of canvas. That's like all I needed, because if I don't, you're just messing around with your pedals all day. That's what I felt like too. Like, I'm just like, if I don't have like at least some type of vision, I'm just like, oh, this sounds cool. Tweak, tweak, tweak. Oh, this sounds cool. Tweak, tweak, tweak. Oh, you know, there's no focus. So,
right.
So that's really like my composition. I'll come up with a riff and I'm like, this kind of has a mood or a feeling to it, and try to like stitch them all together. So, and sometimes it's easy and sometimes I have like a block, but yeah, it's just a lot of, you know, I try to steal moments. Like, I'm a dad and I work full time. So like trying to get moments to like really do that. That's like the combination of all that.
Makes sense. Another thing about it is that I feel like it has a bit of a post-rock vibe to it. And, you know, you could describe any like weird band sort of as like post-rock, although it does kind of have like that sort of like defining genre sound, if you like have to pin it down to something. Are you like a post-rock fan? Does that play any influence on you?
I think so. I guess I'm trying to think of like an 100% post-rock band I'm into. Like, I'm into Isis. I like Isis and Sumac and all those heavy stuff. I just got into Amun-Ra, which they've like blown my mind. So definitely, even, I don't know if people are saying like, it kind of sounds like this, or I play with a couple post-rock bands too, and I feel like I fit really in. Like, I've had some of my best shows where it isn't like 100% like a doom metal thing. I'm trying to think what else. Like, who is like the biggest post? I've never gone into Godspeed or Explosions in the Sky. Like, I've listened to them. And even Mono, like, it's weird. I feel like I make like ambient music, but then sometimes I'm like, at least for me, for my taste, I'm like, this is a bit too ambient for me.
Yeah, like Mogwai is another one that comes to mind. Yeah, they are like very sort of like very simplistic, or at times like just very like strange and, you know, experimental, like Godspeed can get.
Yeah.
You know, for the most, like, another one that I really like is This Will Destroy You. They're a really cool post-rock band, but it's like very, you know, it's kind of, in a weird way, it's like very similar to like doom metal. It's, you know, using a lot of effects, getting a very like specific kind of guitar noise and sound and tone, you know, creating an atmosphere. And it's really more about like kind of, you know, like filling that space and as opposed to like the spectacle of, you know, someone's like jumping around and there's like 18 costume changes and they're dancing or they're like, you know, they've got like a front man in like a, you know, a spandex suit or it's like Vince Neil now, which nobody needs to see. But
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's very much like it's like simple, but at the same time, incredibly like expansive and immersive. That's a, I think that's the word I was trying to figure it out. So
yeah, definitely. I think, I don't know why I blanked out. Of course, Russian Circles is a huge influence. I don't know why I blanked out so on good. That. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a big influence on me. Not, you know, I would, what started like the, like the pedal board, like that I came up with, which is the other, like the members of my band are, is like me, my guitar, the pedals and my amp. And so I like, I remember being like, okay, I got this sound. I need something to do it. Mike Sullivan posted, the guitarist from Russian Circles posted his, it was like my Crucial Few pedal board. And I was like, okay, this is where I start. And I used like sort of the same types of pedals, not all 100%, to do that as like my basis first. I was like, here's my foundation. So yeah, I could see that definitely like that whole, like you said, like building an atmosphere. That's mm-hmm. definitely a big part of it. You know, I try to call it, and I think it's like, you know, I feel like it's like true to this, you know, subgenres or whatever. I like to call it doomgaze because that's all I'm doing is just playing riffs and looking at my pedals and just like looking down, like there's pictures of me playing. There's like 9 times out of 10, I'm shoegazing. So it's just a little bit like heavier and I'm not playing a jazz master. So just like different stuff like that. But definitely like I'd say as far as like a post-metal influence, that's definitely like the Russian Circles like piece. Like their new, I don't know if you checked out their Audio Tree sessions on YouTube, is friggin' phenomenal. Like they're just.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, their composite. It's just like really well done, like in the studio type things. They played a couple songs off their new record. It is just my, like their composite, the whole band is amazing. And they're like, that's the thing. Just like, I think they have enough. They don't go too outer spacey and they bring it back with some heavy riffs. Like they're really good with the balance of like where some other post-metal post-rock bands are very like, here's all this space. And then we're going to give you something. They give you just the right amount of like, you could veer and then we're going to bring you back.
Yeah, I agree with that. They do have like a really good sense of like control in their music, and they do create like such a wide sound for just like three people. And then you know, another band that I love is Cult of Luna, and I just saw them earlier this year, and like it was crazy. Like it was a huge presence. There were like 6 people in that band, and I was like, "There's like it's like a drummer, bassist. There's like 3 guitar players and then a keyboardist. It was crazy. There might have been 2 drummers actually.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Like wildly.
I love like it's rare occasion you get to see bands with 2 drummers, but 2 drummers, especially when they're you have to be awesome if you're 2 drummers anyway. Like to pull that off is one of the coolest like live things ever. Just like in unison, just like the power in that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I've ever seen a band with 2. Well, with obviously like not Cult of. Oh no, that's not true. I saw King Crimson last year. They had 2 drummers.
Oh,
but that's like,
nice.
But that's like King Crimson. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they're allowed
expected.
To do whatever the fuck they. They're allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. Like I didn't see the Melvins when they had 2 drummers.
That oh, I cool. did. Yeah, I was like when I was really starting to get into this like. The Melvins came to Pittsburgh. They played at Mr. Smalls, that same spot. And it was with Big Business. So I didn't know that till after. I was just like, they're playing with 2 drummers. This is awesome. And doing their thing. They played one song for like an hour. They did 2 sets. One song, I think, was like Night Goat, but for like 45 minutes. And then they played a regular set. Yeah, it was amazing.
I love Big Business, too. They're great.
Yeah, yeah. They were such a great fit to tour with the Melvins. Like they just know they're like the best at collaborating.
Oh yeah, they're super good. I mean, they're a great band, and like their last record was so fucking good. Like it was such a well done record. I love Big Business. Everybody should listen to Big Business. I guarantee you it'll make your life better.
Oh yeah, totally. They're awesome.
So we kind of went through some of your favorite acts and bands and whatnot. I was going to ask, besides like Dylan Carlson, if you had some like other favorite like top acts. Well, you mentioned like Russian Circles and Melvins and all those cats.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, I know this is the there's a ton more. It has to be like, you know, Matt Pike and Sleep, whether it's Sleep, High on Fire, and Ohm. Like, I was lucky enough to see Ohm before all this went down.
Yeah.
Like, they're just the real deal, and they're awesome. Like, and Matt Pike is just on all, even though he's not on social media, his presence is so, like, infectious that other people are just posting for him. He's just, like, an entertaining dude.
It is really funny. Like, yeah. I would be curious. I'm curious to just be like, are you aware that you're, like, a meme? Like, you have been a meme for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, are you aware you're trying to not be a part of this, but, like, everybody's still, like, there's people like, I'm just going to post cute pictures of Matt Pike, or here's my picture of Matt Pike.
I don't think he gives a shit.
Oh yeah, he's totally, yeah, he's awesome. I don't know him personally. I was lucky enough to meet him when Sleep came to Pittsburgh. I totally fanboyed out and like ran up to see him and just be like, hi, you're awesome.
He's pretty chill.
Chill. He's a very, yeah, he's awesome. Totally. It's nice when you meet, and I find that a lot, like people in this scene, like most of the time they're really cool. Really cool, yeah, down the earth. There's no rock stars.
I've met a bunch of people. Folks, just it's fun to just like hang out with, and you know, it's a good crew. It's a good crew for the most part.
Good time, yeah, definitely.
I noticed that you do kind of have this sort of thing going on, where you're like hiding behind your guitar in like your Bandcamp profile. Is that like, is that an intentional thing? Because obviously, you're not like wearing a mask or anything when you play live. As I've seen a couple of videos of you performing live, but it kind of goes with that whole sort of like, you know, it's not really me, it's the music sort of thing.
Oh yeah, totally. Like, yeah, it's nothing about, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's about making it transparent and sort of making it more like, I think the guitar over the face thing, because I did like a photo shoot with this dude because I thought like, it was cool, you got to get like professional, you know, I want to take this as far as it goes, so like having a professional photo is nice. But some of my other shots, like that was one I came up with, I was like, I thought, wouldn't that be cool to do that instead of a traditional. So if you look at the traditional guys, like I'm not like a guitar center selling that guitar. You know what I mean? Or just right. Like I look like my high school, like you know, senior pitchers or something like that. So that actually did come out like really nice. Like that is the whole thing. Like you should be, it is about the music, and sort of Fuzznaut's turned into this like kind of separate, cool, like character. It's just like part of my personality, which is really cool. Like sometimes when I first started playing, people like, hey, this is Fuzznaut, and I'll be like, oh hey, what's up, Emilio, and like finding it interesting that like this sort of other thing comes out and like permeates. So I like that whole, like, I don't go too like, I'm always down with some theatrics, but I also want to keep it reserved and like simple too.
Yeah, and like I guess kind of like know your limits, know what you're trying to do, know your audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to, you know, come out in some crazy, like, astronaut suit or something like that, like, and go really, like, you know, balls to the wall with it.
Now, compared to what you were talking about previously, like, Pittsburgh, I think, does have a noticeable doom scene. You know, you have bands like Whorehound from Pittsburgh, and you have the Descendants of Prom Festival, which might be the first festival that happens this year.
I know. They got lucky enough to book it like that far, you know. Maybe because I know I'm friends with the people in Whorehound, and I know Shai, who runs the everybody. It's like somebody mentioned too, as far as the Pittsburgh scene, they had mentioned like all roads lead to Shai. So she's been like pretty instrumental in organizing all these bands and shows, but she may have had a premonition of like, oh shit's gonna be bad, let's wait till October.
Well, I don't remember, I haven't been, but I've got some friends in local bands here, and they were, you know, saying how much fun it was when they went and played last year. So I was thinking about going this year. I don't know if that'll happen now.
Yeah, well, hopefully if things like clear up, you know, I definitely plan on going if it still happens. Definitely, because there's a lot of great local and national stuff like for that show. It'll be a good time.
I believe it. What are you listening to right now that you're really digging the hell out of?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I actually am taking a deep dive back into The Sword today. I was working and I was like, I need something. I was getting kind of bored of like what I was listening to last week. I get into these just like weekly sort of, I don't know if it's intentionally or subconsciously, kind of like whatever my mood is in. And right now I just listened to their live album, which is pretty good. And they do an awesome blues cover on it, like in Sword fashion. And I'm just like, I know they've been out of it, you know, for a while. And well, they're supposed to go back and tour with Primus, which seems really awesome. But yeah, I've been taking a deep dive back into it. They have some just like killer riffs. And I think for the time they were the one of the first, at least band like modern. And I once definitely yet yeah, Doom gets associated with them, but like, I don't know, like they just had their, it's accessible, but it's still authentic. Like, I don't know. Like, and I've seen them a couple of times. They're really good.
I've seen them like once or twice a year for a while. Like yeah, once, yeah, like once Low Country came out, I was like, I don't know. Or not Low Country was the acoustic. The
High Country.
High Country.
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely, you know, their stab at trying to do something different. They got some good tracks on there. And I think that's when this live record came out after. But just like the guitar tones, the, you know, the riff, right? I feel like if people like dig that up again, even though they had a break, like it's still like fresh in a sense. Like it's still their own. A lot of bands could like get close to the Sword style. And I hear a lot of bands do it, but they still have like their own very, you know, distinct voice. Like it's close enough, but not like they can't really carbon copy it, which is cool about them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Apocryphon. Like, I think that might be their best record.
Yeah, Apocryphon's tight. I really like Warp Riders. Like, I think that was the one that really
Warp Riders is good into too, it. Though.
Yeah, Warp Riders, but Apocryphon and with that Nintendo intro and the riffs going on in that just gets me pumped. That's such a great track.
Yeah, I love that. I saw them. I think I saw them open up for Clutch twice, which was actually really fucking cool.
Oh, nice. That's a very fitting, you know, lineup.
Like, the fact that they got asked twice to come out, or maybe, you know, maybe they're on the same, I don't know, they're not on the same label, but whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to figure it out, but I've seen them all over the place. Like, I remember just, like, seeing them years, it was like year, and then that last record just was not very good.
Yeah, I remember listening to the single and I just didn't really, you know, get that much into it. I know too, like, they, you know, I don't know any of them personally, but just like, you know, they were torn, you know, they posted their reasons for like, yeah, like, you know, we've been touring nonstop. I think we need a break. And they've accomplished a lot as a band. So they, you know, they, if they deserve, you know, if they want a break, they definitely deserve one because they, you know, they've accomplished so much. And sometimes when you just keep going, you just need to break, you know, if it ain't good, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to
gassing.
You don't want to just run it into the ground. Like,
exactly. Unfortunately, like sometimes it does, like, you know, just like the strain of like, you know, being a musician is a job despite it having to feel it, you know. But unfortunately, I think if too much of the job thing goes through, then you're going to like it's going to come out in the music. To like just in a sense like phoning it in,
right? I hear that. I will say that their guitar player Kyle, he did a really fun side thing, Doom Side of the Moon, where he just covered Pink Floyd.
Oh, it's great!
A lot of fun. I went to go see it. I was like, this is awesome. I really enjoyed the fuck out of it.
Yeah, that I wish I would see them if they toured again. It's really good. That actually, I wasn't that big of a Pink Floyd fan. Until I started listening to Doom Side of the Moon, and I was like, Pink Floyd's really good. Yeah.
Pink Floyd's pretty awesome.
I did a reverse, like, kind of like, oh, this gets me to understand Pink Floyd. And then, like, now I love them. I was just really late to the party for that. Sometimes I'm ahead, and other times I'm, like, super late. But I get there eventually.
Was there anything that you'd like to plug for yourself? This is your time to do so.
Well, at least, you know, first thing... you know, in the times, you know, everybody just like stay safe and wash your hands and don't go near anybody.
Stay inside.
So this is only like a temporary thing, and just be cool and in a, you know, just chill out and listen to some music. And then if you would like, I actually released a video on JJ was just on your podcast. I don't know him personally, just from emails and stuff. At the Obelisk, he was nice enough to do a premiere of my I did a video for one of my songs, Conjunction Ellipsis, where I shot it and stitched it together like myself, and I was sitting on it for a while. So that is on his site. It's gonna go like 100% live on YouTube in a couple days, but definitely that, like, check out Fuzznaut at all the socials. I'm either at Fuzznaut or Fuzznaut Doom, and that's how, like, we found each other. I didn't even know at first, I didn't even know it was a podcast. I was just like, I like your Instagram feed, and I think you'd be into what I'm into. Like, it was nothing, like, very organic. And then you're like, you want to be on my podcast? I was like, this is awesome, because I've never done this before.
Oh, well, fancy that. No, thanks. I appreciate you showing interest and whatnot. Yeah, it was just, I just started it because I wanted to start chronicling, you know, just all the shows I was going to. And I was really enjoying the scene. And, you know, that's what led me to getting, like, a nice camera and doing pictures and wanting to do the podcast. And it's been fun. So that's like the real version. I tell people, you know, the fake version is that, like, I work for a really shitty, like, old druid guy who lives in a cave, and we're building an old journal out of this thing.
Oh, nice. That's it.
Not like actually true, because everything's like on the phone.
That's like the King Diamond version of that.
Yeah, there's like a King Diamond version, and then there's like the whatever King Diamond's real name is.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. The guy, when he's at home and the makeup comes off, maybe, or just wears regular clothes.
Yeah, kind of that thing, but like definitely not to that scale. But yeah, it just sort of brought us together. So, and there you go. Go support Emilio over at all of his locales like Bandcamp and whatnot, and thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat with me, and glad to know you're staying safe, and everyone else out there should stay safe, but you should also support your favorite artists and bands in these dire times, including Emilio.
I appreciate that. Support who you love. I'm doing this, I would love to do this full time, but I have a day job, I have a family. So the bands that really need it are the ones who this is their living, you know? So definitely, like, support who you love. That's what I put, support who you love. It means a lot. Like, when I get a little Bandcamp something, I'm ecstatic. It's not much at all. You know, it goes to just support, like, my art, but these people, like, this is their, you know, it's their paycheck.
Yeah. So you definitely have to support them. And we don't know when this is going to blow over. So watch your fellow man and help him out if you can.
That's right. Sit tight and maybe he'll disappear. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, yeah. We're not experts on this show, so don't.
Not at all. This is not a pandemic podcast.
No, not
this
yet.
This is clearly not that.
No, we're not there yet. I promise. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on, dude. I really appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. It was a lot of fun.
And stay safe, and that'll do it for this chapter of the diary.